Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. So start getting your best night's sleep in sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. And you can try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee plus 15% off your first order with code BUTTERY. So head to bollandbranch.com today. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Welcome to the West Side Era of All Time, Season 9. I mean, Season 5.
Season 6.
I wish it was Season 6 so we could make that joke. This is not really a joke, but, you know, that reference. Oh, you're putting that through? Good man.
I was for a minute. Tim and Guy here. We've just watched Emmanuel Forever, and we are broadcasting to you live from a cul-de-sac in Westmere. Just down by the water here at Cox's Bay Reserve.
Cox's Bay, chosen for its hilarious name and connection to the genre.
In sunny Auckland, and there is a very haggard-looking pigeon coming up.
Where's
towards
that,
me.
Dude? Let me get a load of this pigeon. Where is it? I can't see it.
You don't have eyes on the pigeon?
No.
Well, rest assured.
Is it in the water or on the
bench?
It's
seen better days. It's not nowhere to be seen anymore. It's escaped my eye line too.
Oh, shit.
It was just such a beautiful day, and I've actually been in a very buoyant mood. And I said as much when I saw Tim. And Tim was outside. I saw when I entered his property, I saw a cup of coffee and a book next to a seat out in the sun. And I thought, I mean, we've both been having such nice mornings. It's a work day, you know. We've got to do this work. And Tim said, "Fuck it,
let's go to the beach.
Let's go to the water." And we have, and it's high tide too, which makes a huge difference because it's sort of an estuary which we're at. So,
do you want one of these?
At low tide, I don't need to hear myself.
Okay. I offered him an earbud for everybody listening.
At low tide, it can look kind of nasty and the smell will get you. But at high tide, it's a beautiful. You've been for a swim here, you said, too.
Yeah, once. It was an accident. You're not supposed to, but I didn't realize that at the time.
It's a lot of effluent waste gets funneled out into this part of the ocean.
I went for a big run. And it was a very hot day, and I got down here and I was like, fuck man, it's so hot today that if I just take a quick dip, I'll be able to dry out in the sun by the time I walk home.
What happened?
Everything I said was true, and it was great. But I also might now have some sort of parasite.
Yeah, it's one of those things. I did that at a beach just around a few bays in Herne Bay.
Mm-hmm.
And then later that day, I went home and went on RNZ and...
Radio New Zealand.
Yeah, there was a list of beaches that had been released by the Auckland City Council that were no longer safe for swimming due to the rate of effluence. And I'd just been, you know, head and ears under and...
Swimming around in your own fecal matter.
In that precise body of water.
But, you know, is there an argument that it builds the immune system stronger, better, bit of exposure?
That's what happens with these, when we bubble wrap our kids...
Oh, Bixby, man. You gotta chill the fuck out.
Bixby is so eager.
Bixby's very sensitive. Should we talk about our recent
windfall,
our professional success?
Well, only in the context of the podcast, which is that you're probably wondering, where did we watch it and how did we watch it? We watched it inside of the car, front two seats. On what screen? What screen could possibly have a brightness setting that allows for the various different shifts in the weather and light that you get inside of a car in the open air in Auckland City? And that screen belongs to a new smartphone. And Tim and I both got given free versions of the smartphone because we did an ad.
I really like that you're not naming even the brand. Yeah.
And the performance of the screen is impeccable.
Mm-hmm. And that's all we'll say about that until they give us more money to mention it on the podcast, a privilege they have not paid for.
Yeah, they've paid for the privilege of us mentioning it in ads that they get to choose where they're distributed.
Yeah.
But the podcast... We've
that's ours.
We've been bitten before by putting the cart before the horse.
Looking at you, unnamed pizza establishment, whose URL I still hold dominion over for the New Zealand region. If they want to operate here, they got to get through me. And if there's one thing you got to know about Tim Batt, it's that he is incredibly vindictive and knows how to hold a grudge.
He has a domain name and he will not necessarily use it.
I will not be
compassionately wisely.
I will not be in any way reasonable with the amounts of money that I demand for blazepizza.co.nz if they come knocking.
Yep, you've been put on notice, motherfuckers.
They fucked around and they're about to find out if they dare step foot in this region. And every year I keep renewing the URL.
What do you pay?
It's not a lot. It's probably like $40 a year or something like
that. You're a bit of a URL guy.
Yeah, it ends up costing a lot because I'm just like, oh, it's only one more of these. GuyMDB.com is about to come up for renewal. I think that one can probably go. Didn't do anything with that. Still the proud owner of RoseMatafeo.com from a conversation in a bar once where she was like, yeah, I don't own, like I don't have, this was like 4 years ago in Melbourne. She was like, yeah, I don't own RoseMatafeo.com. I was like, oh, I wonder if it's available. And while everyone was just having beers, so I was like, yep, bought it. I own it now. She was like, what?
It's better in your hands than, you know, some unwieldy maniac.
I've told her that she could have it, like, whenever she wants
What's the cost?
Nothing. It's Rose.
No, come on, be honest.
Nah, absolutely not.
Cost
no,
you, on,
want
you can tell me.
You want GuyMDB? It's going to cost you money.
How much?
Heaps, dude.
Wind it up for renewal.
November or something. But now that I know there's interest, I'll definitely renew it. I get the first right.
No, I'm actually not interested.
Oh, fuck. The old bait and switch.
Yeah. This stays in this car, but I want that URL.
GuyMDB?
Yeah.
Okay, cool. Well, maybe we can
come to some sort of arrangement.
I also still own comedyfest.co.nz.
What's their website?
They've got comedyfestival.co.nz, but I bought comedyfest.co.nz like 5 years ago and just redirected it to my show's page on their website. So if anyone was like, oh yeah, the Comedy Fest, I'll just go to comedyfest.co.nz. They'd be like, oh, okay, I guess, okay, sweet, Tim Batt's show.
That's really good.
Yeah, I thought it was good. But then they made me stop doing that after about 3 years. They figured it out.
Really?
Yeah. Well, they politely asked, and I was like, yeah, fair enough, I've had my fun. This is probably a bit unfair.
Any news on the what's the forecast, the retrospective weather forecast for Boners, Tim? Put a couple boys on.
Retrospective forecast. Jesus Christ. Boner Patrol, the reporting's in. Not even the tiniest little anything today.
Yeah.
Man. I'm too relaxed. I'm very tired and we're at the beach. It's kind of nice. Well, it's not really a beach, but, you know, the water.
There was nothing about the Emmanuel Forever, which, by the way, is the first technically non-canon Emmanuel film, even though Sylvia Christel appears.
Yeah. Well, not just appears. She's
co-headlines.
Yeah.
Not as the sort of... spry young, not in her, is it corporal form?
Corporal.
What does that mean?
It just means
physical.
Yeah.
Not in that, she's in it. It's quite a confusing storyline, actually, and probably one worth visiting. It is so boring. Like, the way that this movie told its story was awful. It's the same mistake that I've made in so many other Emmanuels, where two people strike up a conversation, yep, and the entirety of the action takes place in flashback. And so there's a beautiful young woman who is Emmanuel. Emmanuel is... actually, it's kind of perfect that the person she's talking to, because Emmanuel is a James Bond-like figure. The character is greater than any one actor. So Emmanuel lives on through all the franchise and everyone's peripherally aware of Emmanuel and the incredible sexual appetite and sort of charms that she possesses. And so this beautiful young woman sits down next to former James Bond himself, George Lazenby.
Fuck, I was surprised to see that name.
And starts talking to him, and she's like, we've, I'm paraphrasing, but she's like, we've fucked before. And he's like, No, we haven't. Yeah, we have. I'm Emmanuel. And he's like, no, I remember Emmanuel. You're not Emmanuel. She's like, no, straight up, dude, I'm Emmanuel. It's getting a little bit...
Because George Lazenby looks to be about mid to late 60s in this film.
Yeah.
Australian model turned one-time James Bond. Turned, fourth wall breaking Bond figure, George Lazenby.
Turned, what's it called? Flashback conduit for a softcore pornography franchise.
Narrative device.
Yeah, non-canon. But anyway, he's going, you're not Emmanuel. And she's going, yes, I am. And then she starts telling him memories that only Emmanuel could have about their sort of sexual experiences together. And he's still skeptical. And so she's like, well, I'm going to tell you even more. And pretty much the whole thing is just Emmanuel, both as the young version, and then she leaves and comes back as the older version to disprove his skepticism, just recounting the various different people and places that she has fucked. And also goes some way to explaining like the... slightly more mystic or sci-fi qualities.
Hugely
of her,
mystic.
Her ability to...
It's,
you know,
dope. She goes to, I want to say Tibet.
That would be my guess.
Somewhere
too.
Holy to Buddhists, and meets a couple of kind of high priest-like figures. And they set up that Emmanuel has like been studying Buddhism to a very intense degree for an extended amount of time to get in this situation. There is a mention of the Dalai Lama, but I don't think the Dalai Lama appears in the film, which is disappointing because I figure if you can get a Bond, like, you could probably get the Dalai Lama to appear.
Those are the same.
Those are the same. So a sort of high priest or monk figure... did you know about that chip?
What chip?
That chip in the windscreen.
Oh, yeah, I did.
We got to get this fucker to Novus, man, because that'll open up.
Show us your crack.
Oh, Novus.
Yeah. When you find your windscreen lacking, Novus windscreens fill your cracking.
Show us your crack. Oh, Novus.
Aren't those little radio jingles so incredible for the way they embed themselves in your memory?
It's very, like, if only we could teach useful, like, math, history,
valuable information,
ethics
packaged into the same
and jingles rather than like a fucking windscreen repair company. I don't need to hold on to that, you know.
Gotta get a garage, gotta get a skyline. I think that ad would only work in New Zealand. I don't know that the word gottage took off internationally.
I've never seen it outside of that ad. I think the word gottage.
So a gottage is sort of like a
it's a cottage garage.
It's like a sleep out, I guess.
Picture this, everyone.
It's like a high-end dog box.
A garage fucks a cottage, and they have a kid. That's what a cottage is. I guess it's just a high-end garage, isn't it, really? It's a stretch to call it a...
It's a garage with a mattress.
It's a garage...
What it is depressing.
It's very... It's a garage with insulation. I'd live in a garage with insulation.
I did. I lived in a garage.
How
uninsulated.
Was that?
It was fine for where I was in my life at the time.
Was that the one down the end of that road?
Maxwell Ave, yeah. You used to live on Maxwell Ave, didn't you?
Yeah. I don't like how much you dox yourself and others on this podcast and other projects. I did a podcast record with Ben Jenkins recently, and he told me that you said like your credit card number or something on air. You're a fucking maverick.
Yeah.
The guy just doesn't give a fuck. And the guy is Guy. So anyway, that's as I was right. saying, this high
Tim
priest,
lives on 11 Aurora Avenue.
Aurora, that's where I want to be. I'm trying to make up my own jingles now to see if they'll stick. So she gets given a perfume by the monk. Whoa, look at all those seagulls.
Holy.
That's a lot.
The people in the car next to us having fish and chips.
Fuck, I should go get some fish and chips. I wanted them last night and I didn't get them, so I've held over that craving. And then the perfume gives her the ability, and there are very explicit instructions which are repeated throughout the film. She is to dab it between her breasts, which is where her heart lies, and she can become any woman on earth, any woman she wants to become. But her heart must be true.
Yeah.
Which, like, the heart must be true thing, they say it 7 times, and at no point is it relevant. Like, it never comes up.
None of it's relevant. Like, none of it is engaging, and disappointingly, none of it is necessarily erotic either.
That's untrue. There is one part of this film that's engaging, and that is the like, act where we're just hanging out with rock stars.
Yeah. There's a very, very, very good... rendering of the rock star lifestyle. At one point, young Emmanuel is taking a bath in undisclosed location, and as she's getting to the bath, we see a camera angle from inside the hamper. And I saw that, and I from the laundry hamper, which is also
in
the
bathroom. Antwerp?
No, they go to Antwerp 10 years later, and she's anyway. And we see that, and I think, oh, that's interesting. It's sort of like I'm the person who's inside of the hamper watching Emmanuel get into the bath, and then it's revealed that there is a young man who's in the hamper for reasons unexplained. And Emmanuel, bless her heart,
no, he does. He kind of explains. He says, "This is my house." And then they don't.
No, but Emmanuel says, "This is my."
She says, "This is my room,"
and he says, "That's my bath."
Yeah.
So that is not explained. That is incredibly unclear. But they both immediately move past the issue of ownership of space,
yeah,
and agree that the best thing to do is to fuck. And so she relays this story to George Lazenby, and he's like, incredible. Tell me, did you see him again? And she's like, not for 10 years in Antwerp. When we were, he was part of a band. He was going by the name Falcon, part of a band, playing shows in nightclubs where it was $20 for a Coca-Cola.
Yeah.
All such incredible writing.
The band is called
Handle
With Care.
Yeah. And then, very satisfyingly, because if she just said that and we didn't actually get to see the band, you'd be furious.
The band ripped. They were like a combination of the worst components of Def Leppard.
Duran Duran.
I was going to say Dragon, but no one will know what I'm talking about.
And they were exclusively playing the pretty much musical progression of the song, "There's no beginning, there'll be no end, 'cause on Christmas..." It's, what is that song?
Well, that's the cover that they do in Love Actually. Love Actually, because it's got too many syllables, it doesn't quite work.
Well, that's the Yui Boom. We were broadcasting our softcore pornography with the windows down to any other young families, friends, or tourists who pulled up next to us.
Kayakers, people on their lunch breaks, seagulls,
pigeons, a huge number of
black
swans.
You know something
swans.
Fucking weird? Those seagulls are endangered. Did you know that?
No.
I don't know if they're like endangered, but they're, you know, like officially endangered, but they're endangered.
Yeah, there's something I quite enjoy about the
red-billed gull. I didn't even know that they were native to New Zealand, but I guess that makes sense.
I mean, they are, like, with due respect to the other seagulls, the red-billed gull is obviously much more beautiful than the company it's currently keeping. Like, look at the others. They're haggard. And look at the fucking beautiful red-billed gull with its perfect colouring and spotted feathers.
What ones are you even comparing it to?
We've got different islands. There's so many non-red-billed gulls down here.
Oh.
Can you not see them?
What, like on the grass?
They've got like sort of browny, blacky bills and different colour. Like
my dog,
their feet
those
aren't
are the
red.
Juveniles. They're the
they?
Same birds. Yeah.
They're all the same crew.
They're just chicks.
Well, the chicks, it's very rare where a species, the chick is less attractive than the full-grown species. If only there was some sort of historic allegory for a young bird who is ugly and bullied for the way that it looks and then grows up to be more beautiful than those who bullied it. But alas,
maybe one day someone will write such a parable that we can use for metaphor.
We must live without it.
Yeah, true.
But
that.
Anyway, we get to go to Antwerp and these guys are playing their one song, which no one in the crowd is they've mixed in like sort of arena level fan noise for what is very clearly a sparsely attended gig in a nightclub. But this band is obviously doing very well because they come off stage at what you assume is the finish of the gig, but it turns out to be half time, and they're in the green room and
they're fucking, they're sucking, yeah, like, they're eating a big meal.
Everyone except Falcon is they all peel off into this side room and start having this incredible orgy. And then the manager keeps being like, "We've got to go back on stage in 5 minutes. Sober up. We need to get out there." But Emmanuel has somehow tracked down the band and she's there. So this is 10 years after they first had sex. She's tracked down and she sees Falcon and Falcon sees Emmanuel and they're very excited to see one another. And
there's a cook named Marla who
right.
works for the band and she is
visibly
in
upset.
Love.
Yeah, and she's visibly
with
upset
Falcon,
that
but
Falcon and Emmanuel are familiar with each other.
Falcon
in this
won't fuck her. And that makes her sad.
And so Emmanuel, with the magic potion she has, is like, "Oh, I know."
It's so confusing what the potion is doing because, like, I thought there's a few options that you would think would be sort of the standard ways to go on this. By the way, when you need to start driving, you got a watch on?
Yeah, I got
You've
a watch
got an appointment
on.
To get to.
That's right, guys. I'm going to therapy after this. I can't wait to tell my therapist what I was up to right before I stepped into the room.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
What the fuck was I talking about? I've lost the thread.
Oh, no, you, it was not stupid. It was actually quite confusing. The functionality of the...
the potion. The potion. That's right. So, like, you would think either Emmanuel would sort of transform into, like, a body double of that person. You know, they would look and sound exactly the same. Or maybe she would enter their body and kind of, like, you know, live so as them.
Yeah, yeah.
But it was...
Ghost in the Machine style.
It was close to that second one, but it also wasn't that.
It was a bizarre hybrid.
It was like a ghost visitation. Like, she would visit the woman...
As a sort of...
As an external voice, like a disembodied voice, and talk to the woman. But then also kind of when they fucked, they became sort of quantumly entangled.
Yeah, Emmanuel sort of... Like, it's also insane because she would... She saw that Marla wanted to fuck Falcon, and Marla was quite troubled. I think a huge part of the reason why is that this band has hired her as a traveling cook, and she prepares while they're having these orgies and
guys,
playing music.
Guys, get this. If you weren't listening before, get a load of this. Does she make, guy?
She prepares, you know, piles of small party-sized quiches.
All quiches, all the time. Just what more could a rock and roll band want at halftime than cooked egg?
She's frantically rolling out her...
It's like too much protein.
Her pastry crumb to make these quiches. And then
what
after,
does she like?
After the gig, the band is absolutely shit-canned, and they all sit down at this long dining table in this insane dining room that she's set up where she has... either she or Banksy has in large letters spray-painted the word farts. And she becomes furious because no one eats her quiches.
So it's really weird that the word farts is graffitied on the wall in spray paint, but it's important you know that is in the scene.
Also, it's spelled like the way that you'd spell farts if you were creating your first Hotmail account, where it's not with an S, it ends with a Z.
It's very edgy spelling. Do you think in a different language, like French or whatever this originally was in, it means something different, like food?
No.
Does farts mean food in French?
No.
Do the French say farts when they actually mean food?
No.
What are we talking about when we're talking about farts?
Exactly what it sounds like. But anyway, like this is, I do want to get to the end of this because this was the only satisfying part of the movie where both genuinely were immersed. And so Marla's upset because she is a cook for a band who have the instrumental music to one song and they have lyrics for about 8 songs, and that's their setup. She spends the whole show making quiches. Everyone except Falcon comes off stage. Whenever they come off stage, they immediately start having an orgy. They have one of the most disgusting orgies I've ever seen.
It's
in
so
movie,
funny. Where it's real there was gross. There's so many bananas
there
involved.
Were so many half-peeled bananas that were sort of standing in for penises or also going near anuses, and then instead of actually mouthing off on each other's genitalia or they're doing anything with their appendages. They're just eating bananas.
Eat the bananas.
As you might suck on a cock.
I'm kind of repulsed by bananas at the best of times.
I found it grotesque.
Yeah, and in this context, it's truly stomach churning. They're a bad fruit.
No, bananas are great.
No, they make me sick.
They're not a sexy fruit, but they're really good for you.
Yeah. Very sugary though.
Yeah, but it's a good sugar. You got to use it. I've been told by a few different people that their mental association of me is with banana in hand.
Fuck, that's weird.
Yeah.
It's a very funny fruit though, so I get that. It's like comedy guy, comedy food, banana.
But I'm not doing anything funny with it. I'm holding
it's
it.
It's
to
just
eat.
A funny fruit.
I will
like,
say this:
yellow is a funny color, and banana is a funny fruit.
I think I probably hold on to my banana before I eat it longer than most.
What do you think that is?
There's a bit of a build up because I like bananas. I know they're good for me. I know it's a good source of
energy.
Let's
start your therapy session here in the car. Why are you holding on to this banana?
I know it's a healthy snack, but some part of me is also like, I have an association from when I was younger, which is I didn't like bananas because I didn't like their consistency.
Yeah, that's my deal.
Yeah, and so
that kind of make me gag.
Before I actually start eating the banana, there's still some small subconscious part of me that's like, oh, I don't know if I want this.
Yeah.
And then I crack into it and I always enjoy it. I love a banana in a smoothie.
Yeah, man, same. That's how I'm eating my banana. I have like a banana a day.
Do you have a smoothie every day?
Pretty much,
Nutribullet.
Yeah. Yep, pretty much. I did that so I'm not vegan anymore, but I was for about 6 months and I was doing it to make sure I was getting like omega and shit.
Yeah.
So I needed a vehicle to put like the, this is stuff called Floridex and it's all plant. But it has stuff that you generally can only get from animal products, like fish and eggs.
Fish. People go crazy for fish oil.
Yeah, dude, it's the omegas. It's those beautiful essential fatty acids, omegas 3 and 6. Also present in hemp seeds.
Ah. So, fish, you know, you don't think of... When you catch a fish, very rarely do people wring it out for its oil. They usually go for the fillets. But
how wrong you are. Fish oil, very expensive now. Very good for your joints.
Fuck me.
Yeah, does a lot of stuff.
Someone's in the pocket of big fish.
It's me, Tim.
It is harder to tell stories while you're driving.
You're doing a good job so far, but also don't crash.
Marla and Falcon, they're both in this situation where he's the lead singer of this band, which is inexplicably tremendously successful. Mm. Marla is a cook for the band, and she's frustrated because she makes all these quiches and no one eats them, and eventually she explodes. During this disgusting
explode.
Banana-based orgy, she blows up at everyone. She starts breaking dishes. She says to Falcon, why are you paying me? You never eat my cooking. And
he's like, oh, I get what's happening here. I'll pay you more money. And she's like, no, that's not the point. You won't fuck me.
And then so Emmanuel and Falcon go back to the hotel. And Emmanuel sort of had her way with Falcon. She's like, I don't actually want to fuck him. I can see an opportunity to use this potion for good here.
Mm.
And so she goes back to her hotel room by herself. She puts the potion on. She's pure of heart.
She puts the potion on her skin and she becomes a woman again.
Yeah, and she also gets the hose. And then she goes and visits Marla, and Marla's like, what are you doing? And Emmanuel's like, trust me, this is the good stuff. And then she travels, both semi as a ghost and semi within Marla's body, to Falcon's room, and she's made a pastrami sandwich, two beers. And
this is after she and Marla have had a chat about how she needs to be
and
less
then
perfect.
Marla finally has her wicked way with Falcon and vice versa. And then she goes back to speaking to George Lazenby and she's like, pretty cool, huh? And George Lazenby's like, yeah, pretty cool, I guess. How did I do?
I'm so impressed by how well you did and I'm very grateful for it because honestly, I can remember very little. There's so that's kind of the second act, what guys have been talking about.
And it was the best one.
It was
definitely. Funny. It was fun. Yep. It was it wasn't sexy, but it was horny.
They were young people, which I liked. They were age appropriate rock stars. They were 24, you know.
I would have found the sex scenes in this movie would have been very titillating to me as a sort of when I was writing the target demo, that 13, 14 year old boy. It really would have got me going. But like, it's the challenge with these Emmanuel movies now is the stories are so winding and long and not remotely engaging. And the sex scenes are...
I kind of liked
I
liked how big they went on this one with the mystical element. And they're kind of setting up, this is how Emmanuel, the franchise, is going to work now. She's sort of now an immortal, which is way more interesting than some movies about a woman who fucks. It's like, here's a woman imbued with eternal life and the ability to transform into other people.
Yeah.
Why? Because that is the cleanest vehicle we could think of to get it a fuck.
And they are like back explaining previous, you know, questions people might have had, even though this isn't canon, which I guess not.
How is this not canon, though? What does that even mean?
I think it might be because the first...
A non-canonical.
The first seven are inspired by the books, and this one is...
This one said explicitly at the start that it was based on... The character.
The character. But not an actual book.
Yeah, I guess that's true. But I just feel if Sylvia Kristal's in it, it counts.
Is that Max Key?
Is it?
Should we ask? Oh.
An Audi. J-Moss is the... Oh, I probably shouldn't say plate numbers on the podcast. Audi
A4. Guy Montgomery.
Hey, just... There you go,
man,
buddy.
Motorbikes are so annoying.
You hate them, eh? Just for every... Wait a minute. Oh, no, wait. Yeah, I don't know if that's Max Key. Max Key was New Zealand's first son.
He leveraged his dad being the Prime Minister into a semi-lucrative career as a DJ, electronic musician.
A DJ and sort of like EDM scenester figure.
And also a national... punchline for a while.
Absolutely.
I believe he follows me on Instagram.
Does he?
Yeah.
We should hang out with Max Key.
Well, that's why I figured it would have been nice. Are you Max Key? And he might have said,
are you Guy Montgomery?
No.
And you guys would have been like, oh, we're best friends now. I'm jettisoning Tim Bat from my life because I don't need him anymore.
No.
Now I have the wealth and
the cachet
friendship
of the great Max Key.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's not a bad film.
That's what you just said now is contrary to everything you have said before that sentence.
Well, I know, I just put all the pieces together. There was an enjoyable chunk in the middle. What are you looking for from your skin flick? This one, you know, could I masturbate to it?
At a push?
At a push?
Definitely there were scenes that you could masturbate to in this film.
Undeniably.
There were some very beautiful men and women in various states of undress in this movie.
Yeah. I would have had a huge... Like, the banana orgy scene, I just cannot emphasize enough to you how disgusting... They weren't putting the bananas in anything, but they were using the bananas in a way that was...
right next to and around.
Do you know
horrify.
What it is? It's just like they... One of the bananas was where...
Oh, shit. Are we recording? Is this thing on? Yep, we're good. The dangers of recording in a
car. One of the bananas was where an erect, like it was a stand-in for an erect penis, which is, I guess, fine. But like then you see the person performing fellatio on the technical penis biting into it, and it just made me so like, it's just they don't go together. Bananas in the bedroom.
Bananas in the bedroom, bananas in the bedroom. They don't go together, bananas in the bedroom.
Listen to your fucking jingle.
I got so bored during that movie. Fuck, it was boring.
Oh, man.
But also, like, to be fair to the film, watching on a cell phone screen in front of the ocean probably isn't the way we should be doing this.
On one hand, not what they had in mind when they made it in 1993. On the other hand, how great for them that this thing that they made, which they probably thought was a relic of the past, is being experienced, discussed, and viewed using such modern technology.
Can I tell you something that's kind of more friend zone fodder, but I'm putting it on this because we're not going to record a friend zone today.
Yeah.
So on our Patreon... every month we're supposed to watch a movie that they have selected for us. Okay, it's one of the rewards. We did not do one in August, probably because we were too busy recording the latest season of Overlooked and Undercooked, a critical analysis of Rob Schneider's work.
His latest special.
And...
Asian Mama.
Mexican Kids.
Yeah.
Why is it called that, Guy?
Well, because his mama is Asian, Tim.
And? The second bit?
Why, his kids are Mexican.
Thank you. So I said, hey, do you know what? So for September, which is the month we're currently in, what Guy and I should probably do to atone for that is like do a double header. So we've got to watch a movie and its sequel. And I didn't really think about the ramifications of that. And so I put it to the group.
I fucking ran into the person who spearheaded this in the food court the other day. And they said,
and our friend Tom Cottle, designer of most of our podcast art, the person who designed the image you currently see of a shirtless Adam Sandler with Glee, jumped on there and commented within like 2 hours of the post going up, Sex in the City 1 and 2.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
It didn't even occur to me, eh? I was like, okay, this is how we make right on this of missing our reward. We'd fucking double down. It didn't even occur to me as a possibility.
What a dirty dog.
Yep.
Fuck.
So that's what's up, boy. I wanted to get your reaction on the record.
He had the most wicked glint in his eye.
Dude, Tom knows what's up.
He does. He knows what buttons to push.
Fucking
oh,
hate.
You fuckers.
Right, so I've probably armed you for your therapy session now. You got
yeah,
some good
absolutely.
Stuff to talk about.
I've got to be in there in 6 minutes. I might try buy a chalky fish from the dairy around the corner before.
Chalky fish, never miss.
Something like that. Yeah.
Yep. All right. I'm going to keep brainstorming some of these hot new jingles I'm working on. And we'll catch you guys soon. As mentioned, we've got the Patreon there. We've got another revisit of Sex in the City 1s and 2s coming out. I don't know when the fuck we're going to have time to record that because it's like a whole day.
We'll make
sitch.
The time. I just want to leave everyone on this
done.
Thought.
Yo.
Banana in the smoothie, feeling groovy. Banana with the penis, absolutely not.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.